In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, today I have a question for all of us. But before I ask it, I want to turn your attention to a few scriptures to kind of set it up, and then I'll go ahead and present the question to all of us. So if you would, first, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Book of Genesis, chapter 2, real quickly here. Many of you are well aware of the story. God has just completed 6 days of creation, and now he's moving into the seventh day. He says here in verse 1 of chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." He set it apart. That's just a simple word that means setting apart. "Because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Now, a second scripture I'd like to bring your attention to deals with the Ten Commandments over here in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And in the book of Exodus and in chapter 20, we have all of the Ten Commandments listed. And in verse 8, we come upon the fourth commandment, and of which is known to be the commandment regarding the Sabbath. And it's almost as though God anticipated the fact that many people will forget about it, because he starts it out with this. And here in verse 8 we see, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9 now, chapter 20, book of Exodus, 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and in it you shall not do any work, you, nor your son, your daughter, manservant, maidservant, cattle, your strangers, even within your gates. 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and the rest of the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed that. And so it goes on. Again, also, in another illustration in the same book of Exodus, chapter 31, as to even more so as to why this is such an important day to God. Now, for many of us, it may not be necessarily important to us, but if indeed we are believers of God, it is important to God, and he says so here in chapter 31, same book of Exodus. Notice how he puts it this way now, with a little bit more detail in respect to developing a relationship with you and the Sabbath, and as to why that is important. He says here in verse 13, chapter 31, book of Exodus, "Speak you also unto the children of Israel, saying, truly my Sabbaths you shall keep." Now that's plural, indicative of the holy days in addition. That's another subject left for another program perhaps, because that's a program in itself. But let's stay focused here on the weekly Sabbath, because certainly that's inclusive with this statement. "For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations." This is verse 13, Exodus 31. "Throughout your generations, that you may know," this is an assurance to you, "that I, the Lord, does sanctify you." So you see here that God now is using this as a conduit, a vehicle by which he himself is connecting up with you, and you are connecting up with him, if indeed you do take the time to observe the Sabbath in it, the way that it was intended to be observed. He goes on in verse 14, he says, "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it's holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it," well, he's pretty serious about it at this time, "they would be put to death. For whosoever does any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people." 6 days, verse 15 here, "may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever does any work in the Sabbath, he shall surely," very serious about this, "be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual," an ongoing covenant. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. He gave unto Moses then, when he had made the end of the communion with him, and he gave him the two tables of stone with the testimony, of course, that was written with the finger of God. And we know about the Ten Commandments and all of that, especially if we've watched the movie with Charlton Heston. But my point in all of this is it presents us a question, doesn't it? Because it's logical now, I think you can all begin to see, that the Sabbath of your Bible is not really the traditional Sabbath that we as Christians have come to know. As a matter of fact, we have assigned a new Sabbath in contrary to what the Bible defines as the Sabbath. And here's my question as a result of this. Who changed the Sabbath to Sunday? How did that happen? When did it happen? And again, I ask, who did this? This is the question for today's program. But before we get into answering that, I'd like to interrupt myself as we usually do to offer today's program, the free offers that we have for each and every one of you. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791. Ask the operators for these two free offers. I emphasize, they're free. All you've got to do is call that number. A piece of literature easily read in just one sitting, I think it's about 3 or 4 pages long, that will be very cogent to this particular topic we're covering today and goes right to the heart of answering this question. As a matter of fact, it's even titled, Who Changed Sabbath to Sunday? Very clear question as far as the title of this particular piece, and I think will be very helpful to you in putting some historical context to answering that question. Secondly, however, we also have a one-hour presentation titled Enriching Realizations of Sabbath Keeping. Enriching Realizations of Sabbath Keeping, a one-hour presentation given before a live audience that will, I'm sure, be very helpful to you in introducing to you some of the benefits of Sabbath observance as an option or as an alternative to what we as Christians have been led to believe is in fact the Sabbath, when indeed, as we will begin to see here, is truly in conflict with your Bible. Dial now that number, 888-578-8791. Ask the operators for both of these free offers. And don't forget about that website there that you see displayed on your screen, www.cgi.org. We have a lot of different varieties of literature and discs and tapes and even archived programs of the Armor of God that you can play catch up with if you do have the time at your convenience. And also let me remind you about a webcasting feature we have every Saturday. Times are posted there on the homepage. All you've got to do is click on the link and follow the instructions. Usually though, those presentations are every Saturday and the times will be made available to you on the homepages throughout the week. So now one more time, 888-578-8791 is that number. And of course that website there at www.cgi.org. Now let's get back to the program here and begin to resume on what we were talking about concerning this conflict of what the Bible says is the Sabbath day and what we as Christians have been now led to believe in these modern days of what the traditional Sabbath is, that of course being Sunday, because that's what we've all been taught as Christians. And as I've attempted to try to portray here, that presents this question of, well, in fact, if that is indeed the reality of what we're talking about, and we all know as Christians, we believe in both Old and New Testament. I know there's some of us out there that marginalize the Old Testament. We're going to get into that a little bit here in a moment. But the fact of it is, and you can't deny this, that in the early years of the Christian movement, it actually was perceived as being an extension of Hebrewism. Essentially, it was an extension, it was perceived as an extension of the Old Testament movement, of the Old Testament religion, because the Bible, that is the New Testament, the church, the early New Testament church, was built on the Old Testament documents. That's right, and you've often heard me say that this is a Hebrew document. I've reminded you constantly over the years about the fact that this is a book written, 66 books written by a variety of authors that were primarily connected with the nation of Israel. All 12 tribes, not just the Jews, which today, by the way, and frankly, happen to be one of the more validating elements of the Sabbath day. Because let's face it, like it or not, the Jews today represent the last remaining direct link to this Hebrew document. For they are truly one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And I emphasize one. Remember, there were 12 tribes of Israel. The Jews represent one of those 12 tribes. And like it or not, they are a direct link and validation of what is really and truly the Sabbath day. And so we can't deny the fact that the Sabbath, at least as far as they define it and as far as the Bible defines it, we understand, is from evening to evening. Right out of the box there in Genesis chapter 1, we are immediately introduced to the fact that God begins his days in the evening. After sunset, at dusk, is the beginning of a new day. And then, from evening to evening is the second day, and evening to evening is the third, and so forth and so on. And so it is, we understand the definition of a day is from sunset to sunset. And in this particular case, we recognize that from sunset Friday night to sunset Saturday night is indeed the Sabbath of your Bible. Now, with that said, the bottom line that I want to ask is, and cut to the chase, is if that be the case, well then what day did Jesus observe? Because certainly if he intended for the Sabbath to be changed, there should be some instruction or some indication from him throughout his ministry in the course of his presentations where guidance and or instruction would have been shared with those that he was teaching that that day was indeed intended to be changed. Because we know from Hebrews chapter 7, that he was indeed from Judah, that he sprang from Judah. And you can read it there about verse 14 or so. We also understand in both the books of Matthew and Luke there in the early chapters of both of those books, the genealogies that are mentioned tie Jesus actually not only to the tribe of Judah, but to the very house of David. So it goes without saying that Jesus was Jewish. And therefore, it is a clear, plain, and very fair understanding and assumption. Not even an assumption, I'll say fair understanding, because you're going to see that it was Jesus' custom to keep what we would call today the Jewish Sabbath day. Turn with me, if you would, real quickly here to the book of Mark. The book of Mark. And in verse 1, we'll go there real quickly in the book of Mark, verse 1, and verse 21, and read here what Mark wrote. And they went into Capernaum, and straight away on the Sabbath day, right out of the bat here, on the Sabbath day, he enters into the synagogue and teaches. And it says here that everybody was astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Over in chapter 6 of the book of Mark, and in verse 2, we read here, and if I can find it, I know it was there this morning. Here it is. Verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is it which he has given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by him? And then it goes on and talks about how he had brothers and sisters, and is not this the son of Mary and Joseph, and so on. Now, over in the book of Luke, I want to bring your attention there. Go over to the book of Luke real quickly. Here and in chapter 4 and in verse 14 we read, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out from there fame of him through all the region round about. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was. Did you notice that? What that means is that was his habit. That was his what you could say mannerism. It was his tradition. It was his custom. He went into the synagogue, look at this, on Sunday? No. He went on Sabbath day and stood up before, and he read, and then he proceeds to read from the book of Isaiah. Actually participates in the liturgy and the church service there of the synagogue. Over here in verse 31 we read, and he came down to Capernaum in the city of Galilee and taught them there on Sunday? No. Here again, the Bible is clear in your New Testament through the gospel writer here of Luke. The Sabbath day. It was the Sabbath day. Now over here in Luke chapter 6, notice this. Luke chapter 6 and in verse 1, it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields. His disciples plucked the ears of corn, did eat, rubbing them in their hands. Big mistake. That was work. According to the Pharisees, according to the oral law, Jesus crossed the line there and violated the Sabbath by threshing. See, that is threshing and taking that piece and beginning to, work with it a little bit. But here in verse 2, we read, certain Pharisees said unto him, "Why do you do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And then Jesus is taken to task for basically breaking the Sabbath, at least in their opinion. But if the truth were known, what Jesus was frustrated with many of these guys, was the fact of how they attempted to try to legislate righteousness in basically constructing and defining and attempting to make laws and issues out of non-issues, when in fact God never intended those particular types of laws to be part and parcel to Sabbath observance. And that's what Jesus really, he was taken really to task in many respects, the Mishnah and the particular oral laws of Jews at that time, because the Pharisees were way, way off base. But let me cut to the chase over here. Let's go back to the book of Mark real quickly here for a moment. And in this particular case, chapter 2. And I want to point this out very clearly to all of you because I think it's important to establish what Jesus says here. And these are Jesus' words recorded by the writer Mark. He says here in verse 27 of chapter 2 of the book of Mark, notice, "And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." In other words, it shouldn't be, hard to keep the Sabbath. It shouldn't be overbearing. It shouldn't be burdensome in keeping the Sabbath. It should be a joy. It's a feast day. It should be a happy time for you to be able to revisit a relationship with God and your family, taking a day off, relaxing a little bit, kick back, have a bud, or whatever it may be. But the point is to try to relax a little bit and to do away with your dealings. Don't worry about your work and your pleasures, but just consider the things of why you were born and the purpose of humankind and the appreciation of family and friends and your children and grandchildren and so on. There's nothing wrong with that. And Jesus says the Sabbath should help to support and build on those things. But here in verse 28, he concludes by saying, "Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of Sunday." No, he says the Sabbath day. Now, I know many of you are going to say, yeah, but now wait a minute. Before Jesus was crucified, maybe that was true, Bill, but after he was crucified and went back up to the Father, we're under the new covenant, right? Right. But let me just say this, and I don't have the time to digress into this point. The reality of that particular reasoning, let me add this, had nothing to do with rescinding, eliminating, or canceling out the Sabbath day. Jesus dying on the stake had nothing to do with and did not impact anything regarding the binding and or observance or the perpetual covenant obligation of the Sabbath day. That's a whole program in itself in terms of the new covenant gospel that I don't have time to digress, but let me just say he did not intend to eliminate the Sabbath. And let me show you something in regards to illustrating a little bit of that by showing you over here in the book of Acts, which happens to be, of course, the Acts of the Church. These are the recorded historical acts of those apostles and ministers in the early years of the Church as it was beginning to make its move. After Christ had ascended back to the Father and everybody was essentially working in the field as missionaries. And here, in fact, were some of the things that were going on. And let's see now if indeed they were beginning to keep Sunday. Because this book of Acts illustrates what the Christians were doing decades, 10, 25, 30 years after Jesus had ascended. So certainly, if Sunday keeping would have been a legitimate change, you would think that these guys who were literally taught by Jesus, first person, first generation, they would have started moving in that direction. Well, what does the book of Acts illustrate here for us? Chapter 13 and verse 13, notice this. And when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos and came over to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga and came into Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on Sunday? No, on the Sabbath day. They sat down, and after reading the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "You men, brethren, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, say on." And they gave the floor to Paul and his company, or his crew. My point here, though, is that the scriptures that they were using was the Old Testament, because the New Testament had not yet been codified, had not been yet completed, had not yet been written in totality. So what scriptures were they using, my friends? Think about it. What scriptures, what documents, what was the Bible of that early New Testament church? Well, let me tell you very easily and very simply. It was the Old Testament. The Old Testament was the Bible of the New Testament church in those early years. And again, here to illustrate our point that they continue to keep the Sabbath, over here in Acts chapter 15, notice, and in verse 21, we read here, "For Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogue on every Sabbath." Now you may say, well, yeah, Bill, but these are Jewish audiences. Where are they going to be on a church day, but in their synagogues on their Sabbath day? Well, what about the Gentiles? What about those Greeks? What about those that were really not Jewish in their ethnicity? How about them? Well, notice this over here in chapter 17, I think it is. Let me make sure it is. 17 and in verse 2, no, that's just another scripture illustrating the fact that Paul's manner was that he was keeping the Sabbath, and three Sabbaths in a row he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. But let me take you over here to chapter 18 and in verse 1 here. After these things, Paul departs from Athens, comes to Corinth. He finds a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately coming from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because the Claudius had commanded that the Jews depart from Rome, and so they came with them. And because he was with the same craft, they were tent makers, Paul, was with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were all tent makers. There's what Paul and the Bible confirms. Now, listen to this. Look at this now in verse 4. Chapter 18, book of Acts. "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." The Jews and the Greeks. And there's so much more here in the book of Acts, as you read through it, that is illustrative of the fact that these early New Testament Christians, even as long as 10, 20, and 30 years after Jesus had long departed and ascended back to the Father, were still keeping a Saturday Sabbath from sunset to sunset. So it brings me back to the question, who changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday? Who changed the Sabbath from Sabbath to Sunday? How was it done? This cannot be answered without some contextual history, some historicity, association with the Empire of Rome. Let me cut to the chase because time's running out on me. Rome was a sun-worshipping society. Mithraism, look it up, Google it, do what you need to do, but find out what Mithraism is all about. Hellenism as well was very influential, but Mithraism was a dominant religion, one of the dominant religions of Rome. It was a sun-worshipping religion that promoted the venerable worshipping of the sun. And they were pagans by their background, and they were very ensconced in the philosophies of Aristotle and Socrates and all these guys, and the sun-worshipping habits and trends and the liturgy from Egypt prior to, and Babylon prior to that. So the fact remains is that you need to gather some understanding about the history associated with Rome. But suffice it to say, the answer to the question, and I'd like to quote real quickly here some quotes that I wanted to share with all of you, because it was during the Christian persecutions under Nero, Maximum, Diocletian, and Galerius that Sabbath-keeping Christians were hunted down, tortured, and for public sport used as entertainment in the Colosseum, primarily because the Jews were a persecuted group within Rome. They rebelled in 72 AD under that particular attack at Masada. The Jews' legacy was turned out very bad. So people attempted to try to get away from anything that was connected with the Jews, the Sabbath being one of those things. And consequently, many of the Christians were even abandoning the Sabbath. And some of those that were not abandoning Sabbath were observing Sabbath in secret. And why? Because there were changes that occurred by an emperor, Constantine, finally in about the year 300. 17 was it? Let me see here. I think I've got it written in 321, March 7th, 321. Let me quote his infamous sun enforcement law. This was from Constantine in the year 321 A.D. He writes here, "On the venerable day of the sun, let the magistrates and people residing in the cities rest, and let all workshops be closed." This is from basically Philip Schaff's history of the Christian church. Let me quote also one from the history of the councils of the church. "Christians shall not Judaize and be idle on Saturday, but shall work on that day. But the Lord's day they shall especially honor, and as being Christians shall, if possible, do no work on that day. If, however, they are found Judaizing, they shall be shut out from Christ." Oh, and it gets better, my friends, and that's exactly why you've got to get the literature that we're offering. You need to hear additional quotations. Dial 888-578-8791. Get that brochure. Who changed the Sabbath to Sunday? What a chock full of information article that is, along with the one-hour presentation titled Enriching Realizations of Sabbath Keeping, because there is an alternative. There is truly an alternative to basically the observance of the Sabbath day, and that is getting back to the biblical Sabbath. That's what we need to do, my friends, and that's the appeal of really true Christianity. My friends, dial now 888-578-8791. Ask those operators for your free offers. My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in these evil days.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.